Welcome to It's About Florida, a weekly discussion program tackling the key issues and topics of interest to our state. I'm Tramell Gomes. Enterprise Florida, the Sunshine State's public-private organization that does economic development, was recently forced to defend itself against a highly critical report by government watchdog group Integrity Florida and free market advocate Americans for Prosperity. They were accusing the organization of pay-to-play tactics and failing to create jobs. On tonight's program, we welcome the CEO of Enterprise Florida, Gray Swoop. He joins the program and tells his side of the story. Welcome to It's About Florida. Glad to have you on the program.
Oh, glad to be here. Thank you.
Tell me about yourself and what you do. What is Enterprise Florida all about?
Well, first of all, I'm a professional economic developer and have been doing this for about 28 years now. And I do it because I have this passion about that we can make a difference. It's always about changing minds and changing lives is kind of the way I think about it. You change a person's life and being able to have a better job. And it's also about changing minds and how we do business in the state of Florida. So if you look at Enterprise Florida, it's an organization that was be 17 years old this summer. It was created to be a public-private partnership to take some of the functions of what used to be a Department of Commerce, put them in a business environment so they could have the flexibility to be reactive to the market conditions without the bureaucracy of a Department of Commerce overhead, and to do it for more effective and for less money. And that was the vision, and to have a private sector leadership, public sector leadership that's on the board that helps set policy for job creation in the state.
So how have you guys been doing?
You know, Enterprise Florida, I think, has had a history in the 16 years so far of quite a lot of success. I think that a lot of times, it may not get the credit that it should. But I can say that, prior to getting here, Enterprise Florida may have lost some of its vision, some of its drive. And so the last 2 years, we've really focused on energizing Enterprise Florida, because I can tell you, having worked in another state for 7 years for another governor, and some of the circles that I would attend, Enterprise Florida was absent. We didn't see them at the table quite often. In fact, I shared with Governor Scott that very thing when I met with him in December 2010, that we didn't see Florida. And he asked me, well, how do we compete? And I said, we just don't compete with Florida. And again, there are some sectors that we might compete with, but for the most part, it was kind of out of sight. So the last 2 years, we have really made a remarkable difference. There's a new energy inside of Enterprise Florida. The team of roughly about 90 people just have done a remarkable job of turning it around, being relentless in our efforts for business development as well as trade.
So what were some of the vision that was lost, and what momentum fell off the way before getting back on track?
Well, I think the concept of how it was operating was lost. Again, the beauty of Enterprise Florida is that we have a set of business leaders, elected officials from around the state, that their intellectual capital is brought to a table to talk about and set policy of how we should move forward together as a state for job creation. What are the industry sectors that we can really target, go after, that diversify our economy, that help us to have more than just a tourism state? Tourism's great. I mean, it is a huge it has a huge impact.
And it's broken records. I was just hearing
right.
that how we've been number one.
And we're going to try to achieve 100 million visitors next year. So, I mean, we're on track in tourism. But from a business standpoint of being able to support jobs for STEM, to advanced manufacturing, headquarters, financial locations, green tech jobs, we have not had a strong strategy. So in the 2 years using the intellectual capital of that board and operating like a board meeting, get away from what we were doing years before, just presentation, where your leaders would go away, I'm tired, I want to talk. To having, a private sector vice chair and having the chairman of the board being the governor that talk about real issues and how do we solve those. And we've done that. At the same time, the staff has stepped up and we have really increased just the activity in far as number of projects that we're working. If you look at the number of announcements and how that has grown over 2 years, the number of projects that we've been successful in is up 40% in 2 years. 40% in 2 years. If you look at the capital investment in our state in 2 years, it's up 98%. 98% increase in 2 years. So we are being relentless in our efforts to do business development.
So things are going well, but there's a bump of controversy. Enterprise Florida was in the news recently. Government watchdog group Integrity Florida and free market advocate Americans for Prosperity held a joint Capitol News conference. And Integrity Florida's chief, Dan Krasner, had some critical things to say about your agency. Let's hear what he had to say.
Since Enterprise Florida was created in 1992, there have just been 103,544 jobs that they're claiming credit for. In 1992, the Florida legislature set a goal for Enterprise Florida of creating 200,000 high-paying jobs by the year 2005.
What do you make of what Mr. Krasner had to say?
Well, first of all, his facts are wrong. 1992, Enterprise Florida was not around. There was another organization that he's pulling that number from. It did not go with Enterprise Florida. Enterprise Florida was 1996. Mm-hmm. That's fact. That's a fact. But again, before we get into debating that, let me back up. You know, most watchdog groups that we work with, reputable ones, will give you an opportunity to say, here, here's our findings. How do we work together? And you give me some response to this, and then will we have a better product that jointly we achieve the objective of the watchdog organization and improve our organization? Mm-hmm. We got an email from Mr. Krasner Saturday morning that said, hey, our new report's coming out on Tuesday. Would you be available to Monday for us to brief you? I said, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. We want to see what it's going to say. So at our briefing at 4 o'clock on Monday afternoon, we went through his findings and said, look, a lot of this is inaccurate, just like I just shared, a 1992 source when the organization wasn't created until 96.
Mm-hmm. What was the organization then?
It was I can't remember the exact name, but it had Enterprise in its name, but that organization went away. Mm-hmm. Went away. And the Enterprise Florida was created in 96. Yeah. So but the point being, at 4 o'clock on Monday, we were told that here's what we have. And we asked, can we have 48 hours to respond? Yeah. And the question to Dan and the team there was, you know, would you allow us 48 hours to at least be able to respond to some of these things?
Yeah.
Said he would call us back. Our vice chairman, Brett Couch, who is Regents Bank over the six states region, business guy said, look, yeah, that's a reasonable request. We've yet to hear back. And they told us that they'd give us an answer. They went ahead and announced it. So, again, if we're going to have dialogue that is truly intended to improve an organization, mm-hmm. that's something I think that's important. And again, a lot of these things are the same things that were pointed out over a year ago that we've responded to. Yeah. We responded in a detailed response piece to every one of these this time. You know, it took us about a week to get it together when you're blindsided like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm proud of the work that we're doing. And you know, Florida families benefit from the jobs.
It was an unusual pairing to see Integrity Florida and Americans for Prosperity do a joint conference. And here's Americans for Prosperity head Slade O'Brien and what he had to say.
Too often we create winners and losers in the marketplace, or we take a company or an industry and provide them special favors and make them different than everybody else in the marketplace.
So in there, he's basically saying, like, it's not fair.
Well, here's the fact. You know, as far as free enterprise, you will not find a bigger believer in free enterprise than Governor Scott, our board, and Grace Swope, the president of Enterprise Florida. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of things that AFP represents, we actually are, you know, step for step, believe in the things that they advocate. Now, what was being said there is, does a state pick winners and losers? You know, in a perfect world where no states competed, that would exist. But unfortunately, that doesn't exist. We live in a very competitive environment where businesses make choices every day. Do we choose Florida, or do we choose doing business in Tennessee, Texas, South Carolina, North Carolina? Or do we move this to India, or is it an opportunity to put it in another country? That's a fact. It happens every single day. And so the choice becomes, do we want to continue to compete for those typically large capital investment, higher paying jobs, or do we just want to say, look, somebody get this fixed so that, you know, we don't have to compete with the law that's nationally? The fact is we want to compete. And so, you know, when we say that we want more of, you know, we look at like our incentives, like QTI. They're designed.
What's QTI?
Qualified target incentive. So it's from one of our target sector industries. So, and it has to be, you know, at a wage greater than what we're already. I mean, it has thresholds in it. So you're diversifying the economy. It's a target that diversifies. So if you have an aerospace aviation company and they're looking at Florida versus an Alabama where Airbus is going, or where South Carolina has a Boeing, and they're looking at Florida's assets, we want to be able to compete. So our graduates have jobs here in our state. You know, I would love in a perfect world that we didn't have to deal with incentives, but we do. And we have to make choices as a government and as a public body and private sector that these are the type of jobs that we want and we have to compete for.
Just watching how lawmakers and the various committee meetings, and they want to be like, you know, show me the money. Why should we put this money up front without seeing results? So what do you say to them that these incentives working, as we're seeing that in the governor's budget, you know, asking for $300 million, raising that up from what it was around 100 or so where it was before. So are these incentives work? And what's your argument to ensure that it stays in this place or see this increase go through?
If you look at our incentive mix, 75% of it's performance-based. And so you have a county that has already put their budget in place. They know that this is their baseline, that they're based their budget on how to pay for things in their county. And all of a sudden, we have this new company that's interested in maybe moving there. Mm-hmm. So the company says, hey, we'll move here, but how can we offset some of our costs to, you know, to get started, whatever, whatever? One of the ways to do that is through the qualified target incentive, the QTI, which brings in revenues, and then we rebate based on what they write. They write a check to the county. They write a check to the state, and then we reimburse. And that was revenues that we didn't anticipate in our budget process. So it's a win-win all the way around if that's what it takes to win the project. That's the premise behind incentives like that. So, you know, I will tell, you know, our lawmakers, and they've heard me say this, when you look at, you know, three-quarters of your incentives are performance-based, your risk is, you know, mitigated, because if they miss a target, then the incentive stops. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, quick action closing fund is where the state probably imposes the most – I mean, is where you'd see the most risk. So if you look at roughly 120 quick action closing funds in the life of the program, there have been three failures. You know, you look at the failures, there's one that's over in the Panhandle in Bay County that we now have turned over to the Attorney General that's investigating. The other one was Dayjet, and that was a company that went bankrupt. And then the last one was Digital Domain, which was a company that went outside the system where Enterprise Florida said, we shouldn't fund this project. And you know, it was funded anyway, and it had failed. Uh-huh. So, you know, the track record is pretty strong there. And I can tell you the way we look at them the last 2 years, Tramiel, the way we look at them the last 2 years, I look hard at what was the company putting in it? What's their skin in the game? I want to know what their capital investment's going to be, and then we can determine then if the public should have a partnership and to create these jobs in this or not.
So is Enterprise Florida your goal, your mission? Is it misunderstood? Why do you think groups like Integrity Florida are criticizing you like this, Integrity Florida and Americans for Prosperity?
You know, it's a good question. It's not one that I can answer. It's one I would like to know the answer because, again, I think if I look at other states – and how they operate, it's kind of fascinating to me that economic development in the state entities that I know and have been associated with and my colleagues from around other states, especially in the Southeast, they do not receive this type of criticism. It's, you know, we understand their mission is to get jobs in our state and capital investment in our state that leads to more economic wealth, where small businesses can participate. It's across the board. But in our state, for some reason, there seems to be this criticism, this constant criticism. And again, I think it may have been that Enterprise Florida in the past didn't do a good job of telling the story. But we have a positive story. We're doing the right thing. I mean, Governor Scott's aggressive. And when we talk about jobs, we don't even talk about international trade. You know, that is a huge piece of what we do. Mm-hmm. 15 deep water ports, focusing, you know, with governor-led missions in seven countries already. Results already there.
What are the results?
Well, for instance, I'll give you two examples. You know, Governor Scott has already been to Brazil, has been to Colombia. When we went to Brazil, we took about 200 Floridians with us. They represented somewhere around 100, I think it's like 111 Florida businesses on that trip. We put together with the embassy there a 1.5 day business to business type function where our businesses sat with Brazil businesses, and we came away with over, you know, right around $100 million in sales from that event of Florida companies. Same thing in Colombia. In Colombia, the expectations were probably somewhat lower because it's an emerging market. But we were the first governor-led mission in Bogota in Colombia since the free trade agreement. We were the largest delegation they've ever received, is what the embassy told us there. And we came away out of 2 days of meetings, B2B meetings, with $40 million in sales in that one trip to Colombia. So we're aggressive in going out there and helping our Florida businesses sell their goods. When you look at exports in our state, they create jobs. We have 55,000 export businesses based in Florida, and that's second only to California. And so when we support that and we tell the other countries we're open for trade, we create jobs.
You're listening to It's About Florida. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with Gray Swoop, CEO of Enterprise Florida, the state's public-private job development agency.
So for those trips where you've gotten the sales and the sales results for the businesses that were a part of it, was that the goal, or was the goal for those trips to create jobs and find avenues to create jobs? And I think people are trying to figure out, like, all of these trips, where are the jobs that are being promised?
Well, that's a good question. It's one that there's been a lot of confusion. So trade missions like to Brazil and like to Colombia are focused solely on trade. Our goal and mission on those trips are to take Florida businesses, help expand their portfolio to other countries, have access to a market like Colombia through our resources and through the embassy that they would not have any other way. And they come away with, you know, $40 million in sales, which supports jobs, allows them to add in additional employees.
Since Enterprise Florida is partly funded by taxpayers and not really reaching your employment goals, aren't you expecting this type of criticism coming toward you?
Well, first of all, that employment goal that's referring to was in 1992 that was not tied to Enterprise Florida.
So what is Enterprise Florida's goal? Did you guys set one?
Every year we do. Since I've been here in the last 2 years, we've hit our goals.
Mm-hmm. What is the goal?
This year, I think the total goal is 25,000, and we've already through the fiscal year, we've already attained that. Mm-hmm. Again, if I look at the projects, I mean, we're you know, 40% more in 2 years in number of projects than what we were, you know, two years ago.
What's their expectation from the legislature?
I think there's always expectations when you start looking at these numbers.
And did you meet those? I'm trying to find – I understand, like, you know, some of the inaccuracies from what was brought about from Integrity Florida, and they may have gotten, like, you know, the date wrong and the companies, the name has been changed. But as far as expectations from the legislature, we need X amount of job at this certain point. Have you been meeting those?
We have. And I'll go back and get the numbers for each year, but we have met goal. And then again, if there's a year that we hadn't, I bet any business that looks over 16 years and says we've been able to meet our performance metrics every single year, If you find one of those, let me know. I want to invest in that company. And so, you know, the thing that we have to be, and I tell our team this, that we have to be candid when we don't meet a goal. Why didn't we?
How many board members?
There's 61.
Why so many? And how do you navigate through 61 well, people?
A lot of it's by statute. So, you know, the enabling statute, you have representatives of the governor. You have representatives of the House and of the Senate. And then you have legislative members that represent the House and the Senate as well as those that are appointed as large. You have on the board the cabinet members, the CFO, the agriculture commissioner, the attorney general. So, you know, you start adding the statutory numbers, it's a large number. And then you have the investor board members you know, they look at it as like anything else. This is a way I can help, you know, the state move forward, and they invest through memberships. And we try to keep that number somewhat manageable, as you can imagine.
And do they get incentives and vendor contracts?
You know, that was one of the things that were pointed out. And so let's take a second to talk about the incentives.
Yeah.
So again, in the history of Enterprise Florida, if you look at a member that was on the board and their company may have received some type of incentives, there's been eight. In 17 years, there's been eight. And then if you look a little bit closer at it and you look at the type of company and what type of incentive, you know, a lot of those were brownfield, where a brownfield incentive is designed to move a company into an area of town, just like here in Tallahassee. If we look at the Residence Inn here on Gaines Street, that's a brownfield project. You know, Residence Inn may have determined that this was a market that they could put that type of hotel here, but to put that on that piece of property helps complete the street that's that connects to the university. So it is a local-driven incentive. And the bottom line is Enterprise Florida does not make the ultimate decision on incentives. It has to be signed off before then by the Office of Tourism, Trade, and Economic Development, and now the Department of Economic Opportunity.
And the vendor contracts.
You know, like any public-private partnership, we do business all over the state, whether it's, you know, wireless communications, whether it's phone lines, copying. You know, there's multiple type of, procurement that we do.
So is this like for those that have gone on, is this like par for the course? Should people expect this of how it's operated, or it's just trying to get the understanding of really how Enterprise Florida works,
right?
To avoid the confusion of, like, you know, when someone is yelling at you that it's pay to play and it's wrong. So
first of all, you have to question why are they asking, because you've got other public private partnerships that operate exactly like we do without the same, you know, scrutiny.
Yeah.
And so we're very open about that. We're very transparent about that process. If there is a conflict, the board members know that they cannot vote on anything that is a potential conflict. It's out in the open. Our board meetings are public. We've been able to work right now the last two board meetings and actually show on the Sunshine News Network.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're trying to make it more public and so that people understand that there's, you know, not a pay for play.
And what is a potential conflict? Getting a contract when you're on this board and you're seeing how everything is going along and your company is able to benefit from this?
Again, you think about how many vendors there are in wireless communications, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't want to call out any names, but some of those vendors are on our board. And if you look at who are you going to contract with? There's just not that many. And you want some of the largest employers on your board. And long as it's disclosed, it's made public, there shouldn't be a problem with that.
Your branding. Recently, Florida came out with a new brand. It's the place to do business. Great place to do business, if I'm saying this correctly, and received a lot of flack from the design of the logo with the I in Florida being a tie. Few business leaders that are women weren't too pleased with seeing that. What's the situation around that? And then hearing that how it was even done by an outside company and not in Florida. What's the situation with that?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to get the facts straight.
Yes, please.
Yeah, and so let's back this up. So first of all, it's Florida, the perfect climate for business.
Uh-huh.
And so what we did is we looked around, and again, we talk about tourism brand of the state. You ask anybody, what's the business brand of the state? It's not known. They know us for our theme parks. They know us for our beaches, all the wonderful things that's going to get 100 million visitors here. Visit Florida, great. They're going to do that. On the flip side, how do we diversify our economy from a business standpoint? So we first of all engage – if I'm a big believer in the book, Good to Great. First thing you need to do before you do anything is get the brutal facts. So we hired through a selective process a firm from Nashville, Tennessee to do the one-time purchase of research. That's all they did.
Mm-hmm.
They interviewed CEOs inside the state. They interviewed CEOs outside the state. They did focus groups. They got the research. From that research, they then share with our board. And then a company called Own Ideas of Jacksonville, Florida, took their research mm-hmm. and built the creative, the logo to move forward. So in their work, when they were working on this logo that will be used as a part of a whole advertising campaign, they tested the Thai icon and it with female executives from both business sector, international sector, and all of that research showed that it was not offensive, that people agreed that a tie was the most iconic symbol of business in the world globally. Mm-hmm. And so we were sensitive to that, and we've tested that in those markets. And so
– is that the same? After seeing the results and the attention that it's gotten, do you still hold true that tie still represents
– I'm very sensitive to that.
Yeah.
If you look at our team, though, that made the decision, female professionals – I think Enterprise Florida's got a great track record for female professionals. The head of our business development unit is a female professional. The head of our marketing unit is a female professional. That group that made this decision had female professionals involved in it that understand business. And again, we're trying to get a message out that Florida is more than just a tourism state, that we're a business state. And so, you know, it's tested well in the markets. We're moving forward with the campaign now. We've had great results, great feedback from our core market that we're trying to reach.
Yeah. How far do you have to go to accomplish the mission of Enterprise Florida?
Oh, the mission never stops. We until every Floridian that wants a job can have a job. And again, we have to work with many partners. The Enterprise Florida is the competitive project sector. We're the trade group. Then you also have other people inside of our agency that are working through, you know, your incubator centers from around the state, your SBAs around the state, the Small Business Development Network. You know, we're about the whole picture. And the beauty is in 2 years, mm-hmm. these entities talk. Previously, before our team got here, everybody worked in a silo. Those silos have gone away. We communicate with one another. And so by doing so, we do a better job, a more efficient job of job creation, and we do it much more efficiently, which means we're doing it with less resources.
All right. Well, thank you again for coming on the show and setting the record straight.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about the positive things that we're doing.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Troy.
Thank you to our guest, Grace Swoop with Enterprise Florida. You've been listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM, with technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox. Please join us again next week for more discussions about the issues impacting our state. I'm Tramell Gomes.